Hi, this is Paul Shan Applegate. I grew up in Heppner, Oregon. We're at the Doherty reunion, and I'm here with my sister, Peggy McCabe, and my cousin, Tony Doherty.
And I'm Peggy McCabe, and I was born in Heppner, and I was raised in Heppner, and got married in Heppner, and then ran away to Brookings. And I'm with Tony, my cousin, and my brother, Shan.
How old are you?
I'll be 83, the 16th of this month.
Tony Doherty, born and raised in Heppner, Oregon, here with my cousins. And
how old are you?
I'm 76.
He's a baby.
I want to start with you, Peggy, because you're the oldest. What do you remember about first meeting these two little scamps?
Shan was born down the street from where we lived, so I got him from the time he was little till I left home. I babysat him a lot, and I said bad things to him a lot.
And threw rocks at me.
Yeah, well, and I also, anybody else threw rocks at you, and I had to fight them for it, because I was thinking of that time you came home and told me, what's her name, Badbergs, was it?
Yes.
Had hit you, or threw a rock at you, and so I had to go down and tell him to leave my little brother alone. I could do it, but nobody else could.
You have to realize this was growing up in Heppner, which was kind of a little small rural town, and being kind of a little wild, the time you could run in the town, there was outdoor events like throwing rocks.
What do you remember about meeting Tony?
Tony, I babysat him also. And he would come to Heppner from the ranch, and he was my little buddy. I liked him. I don't know why, but I did. He's a pretty nice guy.
Do you have a first memory of knowing these two?
Oh, it's hard to say a first memory since I've known them forever. There's no first memory exactly. But, yeah, I've known them since I was just little. And I do definitely remember Peg babysitting me one time for several days. I don't know.
They were at the state fair.
My parents were gone, and she was my babysitter. I hate to say babysitter. No baby, but still.
Child sitter.
That was kind of memorable, living in town for a few days rather than out on the farm.
I actually watched him when the folks went to the fair, state fair, took some of the kids who had stuff in the fair, and Tony didn't get to go, so I stayed out there with him and, I don't know, probably Maureen and Nancy and Becky, all the young ones that didn't get to go.
Was the age difference between you two? What's the age difference?
Well, I'm 83 going to be, and he's 76. So it's quite an age difference, yes. I was probably junior high when I started babysitting him. Yeah. I babysat a lot of kids. That was my stick it, Peggy.
Did you have a lot of the chores then, keeping track of the boys and the kids around?
No, because Dick and I ran together, so I didn't have to keep track of the boys. And he was enough younger than me that he had friends in the neighborhood that we were allowed to do what we wanted to do as long as we didn't get into trouble, like starting fires.
And Dick is our brother. I think what kind of be helpful to kind of as a placement on this whole conversation just a little bit is that keep in mind that our grandparents homesteaded on a ranch called Black Horse, and our family, Peggy, Dick, and I, and our mom, all lived in town, and so we were in the town of Heppner, and then there was always going out visiting out at the homestead. And so there was a real extended family, so there was people coming and going all the time. I can remember not more than once going to bed as a small child and of avalanche of people coming, and I'd wake up and there'd be somebody in bed with me because there wasn't enough beds to go around.
Or you were on the floor. They kicked the younger kids out and let the big adults have the bed. So,
what year did you graduate from high school?
1958.
Oh, and what year did you graduate?
65.
Very different times in town, I would guess.
Yeah, and Tony wasn't in town as much as probably the two of Chan and I, because they lived on the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And they got involved with all the ranch projects, and they did sports, too. Were you as much in sports as maybe Dennis
well,
was?
Well, I would like to have been, but I wasn't as athletic, obviously.
Yeah. Dennis, I think, was more into sports than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you always going to be the one who took over the ranch?
No. That was an accident. You really want to hear that story, how that happened?
Yeah.
Well, after I was drafted and then out of the Army, luckily after only about a year and a half, I'm coming home and looking for a job, doing nothing. This neighbor from down the road came by one time. My parents were gone, and he was trying to sell his. And we got talking about me, and I said, "Well, I'm kind of between jobs, not doing anything." He says, "Well, why don't you buy it?" So I had a big joke. Yeah. So when my folks got home later and I told them the story, and Mel dropped by and says, "Well, yeah, like, why don't I buy a ranch?" And you can just see it all of a sudden, this light in my dad's eyes. There's my farmer. I'd never even considered farming.
What'd you think you were going to do?
Didn't know.
I was, just at that point, just footloose and fancy free. Just got home from the service. And so anyhow, he financed it, backed me up while I signed in a mortgage course, but he put down payment.
How'd you get started?
And did you know what to do?
Well, yeah.
How'd you know?
How'd I know?
Yeah.
Well, my dad was still there. He was farming, or he was there. Actually, I did most of the work, tractor work and whatnot, but he was my mentor. He taught me what.
And when you live on a farm, you actually get to farm. A lot
very
of times,
early
you,
age.
Yeah, they put you on a tractor or they send you out with a sprayer or whatever. I don't know because I wasn't a farmer.
Did you ever think about marrying a farmer?
Not really. Didn't think about it one way or the other.
You're a town girl?
Yep. Well, I like being out on the farm because we used to go out in the summertime. Stay at McLaughlin, stay at the Dohertys, go down to Aunt Rose's. Did a lot of visiting the farmers.
Visiting?
Mm-hmm. Visiting.
Dad, you worked on the farm, right? Is that right?
I did, yes. My first job was pulling rye out in the field, and that's to understand that. That's in the wheat that. Fields, rye degrades the value of the wheat when it mixes in with it. So they would get, I was 7th or 8th grade, and they would get a crew of 7th or 8th graders or older and go out, and you'd walk through the field where the rye was higher than the wheat, so you could find it, and you'd spend the whole day in the pulling rye. And I remember I was working for a cousin, Don Pointer, and his rye was just had little pieces coming out. Usually they come in clumps a lot more. And I remember you'd almost have to get down and high level with the deal to find the rye. I remember going to bed, and we were staying in a bunkhouse, and at night, all I could see was reiteration of down on my knees looking for rye all night long. And then after that, I actually worked as a farmhand, always with, not, I was going to say with relatives, but my senior year, I actually worked for somebody else and drove combine that year.
Did you ever consider farming?
No way, man.
That's hard work.
Well, there's also, I'll tell you what was my biggest hang up. Not that I liked it, and you had to be mechanical, and I didn't have much interest in mechanical. Because in the old days, farmers really did all the stuff to make things run. But the worst thing that could possibly happen is you plant your grain or you plant your wheat. It rains real hard, it washes out, and then you got to plant it again. And the idea of ever redoing something was the most god-awful thing I can think of. Was, oh my God, we're going to do this again. It's kind of like the myth of Sisyphus. You push the rock right back up the hill again.
Would you start out growing when you first started?
Wheat, just almost entirely. Rarely there'd be a little bit of barley or something, but wheat was our crop.
And how do you see it evolve over time? At some point, you're not farming that land anymore, are you?
Well, I'm not, but I did until I was ready to retire, and then I leased it to another cousin now, who is eventually going to buy it.
And I've got to throw this in because
there's nothing very fancy about it. Oh, I've got a couple of metal shops, and that's.
The house is still standing, is it?
Yeah, but the house is my age. Me and that house are the same age.
So not the big one, the red.
It's barely standing.
That's you'll the one see, we took.
We
took some boards off of it, and Stacy made something out of it. I don't remember now what it was, and she still has it. She thought that was really cool.
Uh-huh. That house was, I'm not sure the year, I think they homesteaded in 1894 or 93 or whereabouts, and I'm sure that wasn't the first house, but that older house, the one, not the one Tony's talking about, but the older house, raised 13 kids through it, and it's hard to imagine that.
4 bedrooms?
Yeah, but there were little tiny ones. You could hardly walk up the stairs with the other.
Yeah, it was real steep and real narrow steps, and it was... like the one in Ireland. They were both the same style. I mean, I think the plan was taken from the Irish house when they built it.
What year was it built?
I don't know.
I don't either, but it was probably pretty early on after the homestead, but I'm sure that when they first moved in, that was not the house they moved in, because it was a pretty big house. The homesteader part of it was kind of hands-on, scrabble to probably make it all fit together.
Were you born in that house? Is that where you grew up, your early years, or no?
Old house? Mm-hmm. There. Well, I don't know where I was born in town, not in the house, as far as I know. I don't remember when I was born, we were still living in that house when I was born for about 6 months, I've been told.
And then you went over to the big house.
Yeah, they were building the new house at that time, and I think I was
that house,
less than a year old.
That house raised 13 kids, and they moved over to the big house, and that raised 7 of you?
Yeah, 7 siblings.
Yeah.
So name them all in order, just for the record.
My siblings?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy.
Well, there's Dennis and Roger and Martha and
Tony
and Maureen and Nancy and Becky.
Baby. And who's the baby?
Becky.
Becky's baby.
He named them in order.
That's right. Well done. But by the time those babies were born, you probably were not around to babysit anymore. Is that right?
Wrong answer. I was. I was still babysitting.
How old were you when you got married?
18.
Right out of high school.
Yes, ma'am. I was 18 in July and married in November.
And where'd you go?
Brookings. Ron was in the plywood plant. They had shareholders, and he bought a share in the plywood plant. Just mom and dad were down there. So that's where we went. That's where we moved.
I have a suggestion here, is that seeing how this is the Doherty reunion and it's Irish, I think it might be fun to try to recollect our Irish heritage, what it was like when you were small or growing up. And when I was born in 45, and then really started remembering things in the early 50s, there was the whole first generation of Irish people. I was particularly raised by my grandma, who came over from Ireland in 1888, and she died in 1952. And her generation was still around. And for the next maybe 10 years, you kind of knew that generation.
And then
you really felt like it was Irish. We went to the Catholic Church. They had the gatherings. The
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day was a big deal, yes. And I guess that's the part that I always felt like we kind of lost a little bit in our, and that's maybe why I'm trying to do this a little bit, was because that generation was really had your first-hand knowledge. Not first-hand knowledge, they lived it, that's what I'm saying. And when you go to the next generation, it gets a little thinner, and you don't know as much. And
did you know that Johnny Taylor was a Doherty?
Not until I was in my 30s, and he was Johnny Taylor Doherty.
Yeah. But he was always called Johnny Taylor. I didn't know until I was in high school.
Well, I didn't know Uncle...
Until I mentioned something that...
Who's Johnny Taylor?
Well, that's a
good He's point. A single guy that came to all our functions and worked for Murnard, didn't he?
Yes, well, not when I recall, but I think earlier.
He did. He worked for my Uncle Bert, Tony Spratt.
Is that a sign of having so many cousins you can't even know how many cousins you have?
We could pretty well count them. There was 13 in Mary's family. Sarah had 3, 4. Had Dick and, you talk about not knowing your mind going.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it?
Lorraine.
Lorraine and
yeah. There was a Jack.
Yeah.
Dick's brother. He got one died in the war.
Yeah, and there was there? I thought there was 4 of them. Anyhow, Mary Sarah, Nora had 4. Kenny and. Jean Ann he married. And then there was another, I think, a girl. There was 3 of them, I guess. And I think she passed away.
Yes, she was good.
Ann had 4.
And when you talk about Nora, I'm going to change the subject just a minute. And that was, we had a brother.
Jean?
Peggy and I had a brother named Billy. And he was 8 years old, staying out at our Aunt Nora's on the farm, the Turners, and he fell out of a tree, and he died within a few days.
He was up there. He always loved to climb trees. And Larry McLaughlin had been in town, and Billy begged to go out with him because he wasn't supposed to go. And they let him go, and he was up in the tree, and they found a snake down at the bottom. And they said, "Billy, come on down here, look at the snake." And he was hurrying down, and the branch he was hanging on to broke, and the other one he slipped off of, and he fell, and it was in a rocky area, and he hit his head. I don't think he ever regained consciousness, even then.
I don't know.
They took him to Pendleton.
How old were you? How old were you when that happened?
Probably about...
I was just born. So
I'd have been about 5, yeah.
Do you remember much of it?
All I remember was we had a phone on the wall, and Mom got a phone call from the doctor, and she just let that phone drop, and she was out that door and met the doctor up there, and they drove to Pendleton. So that's...
I never heard that story the way you told it, where there was a snake on the ground, just that he fell out of the tree. I'd never heard that.
Yeah, well, that's what caused him to fall out of the tree, because he was coming down so fast. And not paying attention to what he was doing. And he was really loved to climb trees, from what I understood. So.
That must have been tough on your family.
I think, probably tougher on Nora, because, you know, that's out in her house.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. In her territory.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It was a bad year because Shan was born.
Can you tell us a little bit about Luz, your sister?
My sister?
Yeah.
Oh, I know really nothing about my sister. She was, I never knew her. Just the stories.
She was Mary. Just making sure. Mary was one that died when she was real young.
That's what you were talking about, Mary.
She had cancer.
She had cancer. Yeah. And nobody knows, but I think my folks always kind of blame that on the Hanford projects.
And oh, yeah. And I think there's a lot of them in Ione and Heppner that, well, especially Ione. Yeah.
What does that mean? Can you explain?
When they were working on the atomic bomb there in World War II, you know.
The wind would drift the fumes and stuff over, and then they let some of it go into the river, the Columbia River, and of course, Ione and Lexington's closer to the Columbia River than we are, and Heppner, not much, but enough that a lot of Ione kids had cancer, too.
There's no way to prove it, yay or nay. It's just...
Well, I don't think they really even thought about it till later.
Yeah, likely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she was... I didn't know her. She was
my age.
Yeah. But I've seen pictures, and she
That was Hanford, where the atomic bomb was developed in the Tri-Cities in Washington. And so, as the crow flies, it's not that far from eastern Oregon.
If I recall, stories always were told by your mother that it was amazing that all of you were in more danger than you were. Many a young accident, is that right?
In what way? I mean,
well, I've heard many a broken bone, many
you're not talking about Mary and that.
Wait for Mary now.
We just lived a normal life out there, and I climbed trees all over the place there, and
we went up on the hill and jumped and played in the sand.
Yeah, we did things that kids do. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And yeah,
He took a knife to me.
Tony,
yeah. Oh, we were throwing a knife and playing that. Oh. And I ran up to get the knife, and he, I don't know, yeah, he no, shoved me. I think he shoved me.
No, it wasn't. Shan is so competitive. We were both going to get this knife. Somebody had thrown a knife trying to stick it. And we were both going to retrieve it. And Shan is so competitive, he wouldn't let me beat him. He dove for that knife and stuck it in his hand.
And then you were blamed for it.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. Wouldn't happen if he hadn't tried to compete.
Now, you were drafted. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like getting drafted? If I remember, you were one of those who had to look in the newspaper to see your number. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I won the lottery.
The Vietnam
lottery, yeah. Actually, I was number 7 or 9 or something like that. But in Morrill County, you know, I think I was the first one to go from Morrill County. So I... to say I won the lottery.
What year was that?
Yeah. So you probably graduated in 69.
I graduated in 69. It was 70.
So late, kind of late in the war.
Yeah, it was, which is what saved me. So I got drafted, and I was in for a year and a half, and then got a drop because Nixon was pulling out of Vietnam, and he just started letting people go. I never went to Vietnam. I went to Texas, which is almost as bad, but not.
And did Ron serve? Did Ron serve in the... kids did.
He was married at 18, and so they didn't want people that had little kids. And we had 4 of them, so...
Is that already at 4? Well, yeah.
Well, it was, 61, 62, and 64. Yeah.
Really, basically, the war ramped up in 65, and so you were, 7 years married by then.
And how come you didn't get drafted then?
They wouldn't have me. No, I actually never...
He was a mouthpiece.
I was in college all the early years, so I had a 2S. And then you were born. This is my daughter was born. Debbie, and so I actually had the status for that, but then I was in graduate school, and after that, being a parent didn't eliminate you, but I don't know why I didn't get a seat. But when they finally put me in there, the lottery was going, and I had a 300 number, it's based on the date of the year.
That's not fair.
Well, what do you mean? I would have had to support 3 of you, you two probably.
He always has an answer.
Did Dick, did your brother serve?
No.
Just too, a little too old already. And the kid.
He is older. He's 6 years older than I am. So that Vietnam was, you know, they weren't drafting that early in his time.
So did your mom, Gertrude, did she get to know your kids at all? Were they born?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about your mom?
She was a neat lady, and she had ways of letting you know that you did something wrong without actually getting down and getting into it. She just, what time is it when you come in at midnight, you know? I learned you never, ever, ever tell her what time it was. She had a clock beside her bed. So you didn't tell her. You says, oh, I don't know what time it is.
It's 9:30.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't do that. She knew. And then one time, after we were married, we were up there for Christmas, and there was several of Ron and I's buddies that were out drinking, and pretty soon they come by the house, and the cops came by the house, and they got out of the car and threw the beer over in our yard and then took off. Well, Mom sent Ron out to pick it up and bring it in, and they were all drinking the beer when they came back to get it.
What do you remember about your mom, Dad?
Just, I don't know. I mean, the highlight, obviously, I had the hugest respect. I actually can't remember getting in an argument or fight with my mom ever.
You wouldn't have won anyway.
No, well, I didn't need to, because I didn't do it. I wouldn't. I just had that most respect for her, and Peggy's right. There was a way she handled things without having to beat it to death or make it. You know, I knew what I needed to do, and you're right. I didn't try to pull the wool over her eyes anyway, and she never did anyway. I remember when I was a younger lad, and the first time I really ended up drinking beer in the underage in Hepner, and that's didn't run of the mill. And then the next morning I had kind of was having a bit of a, I don't know what it was. It might have been some flu or something come up. And she never said anything. She just said, you guys have a little to drink last night? And that was it. That's all that was said. And I knew I wasn't pulling anything over on her. So
yeah, we were going to Lehman Springs one time, Ron and Dick and Chris and I, and I don't know who else. And they got a case of beer and they put it in the little shed out in back of that house. And we got up early and they went and got it, put a blanket over it, took it out, put it in the car, and we went to Lehman Springs. We came home and Mom said, oh, by the way, kids, what was in that blanket you guys took from the shed?
It was just a dead cat.
Just
a body. It's gonna be a body.
But speaking of that relationship, though, did you guys know that Gertrude was my godmother?
I had forgotten that. Actually, I had, Tony.
She was quite well liked in the town and among the family also. They enjoyed getting her to do things with them. She didn't usually go uptown when they were drinking, but every once in a while they'd have a big deal going and they'd talk her into going. And she always had a good time. She wasn't much of a drinker as far as a lot. She might have a beer, maybe.
Never paid any much attention, but you know, it'd be all those family gatherings and everybody be drinking beer. I don't remember her ever.
She didn't.
Drinking.
Was your dad?
I'm not saying she didn't.
She didn't very often and never to excess. I think she'd seen enough of it in. Well, she probably didn't like it either. But she'd seen enough of it in her lifetime that.
I think reading her diary, I think she drank a little beer when she was a young lady, though.
Yeah.
They were, in fact, to get appreciation for this. I am going to go a little sideways here. Is that when my mom was in her 20s or late teens, that was a period when Eastern Oregon, Heppner area, all had Grange Halls. They all had dances. They were out in the middle of nowhere. And reading her diary, you could find that they were going to dance. They did more than I did when I was a teenager because there was more actual activities going on.
That's what they had to do.
Bundle into a car and headed off to the Grange Hall for a dance and come home literally at dawn. I mean, it was...
And they brew homemade beer.
Because I was
what Francis did, I know.
Because just listening to him. And,
yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, Francis was a bit of a brewmaster, I think. Yeah. You know, and that was the days of Prohibition, by the way. So.
Yeah. That's why
he didn't sell it. He just drank it. It was home brew.
Mm-hmm. I remember your dad, Bernard, being quiet. Is that true, or is that just me being a little kid?
That's probably true. He wasn't much of a talker.
He liked Tony.
I don't know if I ever saw my dad get really mad. You know, he was pretty much on a level keel all the time. And not that he couldn't. He didn't, you know, seven kids. It's not that he didn't give you a squat or two, but it wasn't because he was just mad.
Yeah.
Can I interject a story that I always loved of your family?
Well, the story of your mother, Jerry, was when you guys misbehaved in the car and your dad had you walk home. I love that story.
Or maybe that was Martha that tells that. I don't know. Maybe you were little and well-behaved.
I was probably the one walking. No, but it wasn't. It was just temporary. It just... You gotta teach you a lesson if that's what happened.
That's what you did. You had to get out and walk because you didn't do what you were told to do, or
that's right.
Something else.
What was it like farming together?
What do you mean? Me not the actual physical?
Well,
you don't really farm together. He's doing one thing, I'm doing another, but. He was my mentor, you know. He taught me, you know, this is what you do, this is how you do it.
I like Bernard.
He was pretty easygoing, which I appreciated since I wasn't necessary.
Shall we go to the throwing yourself on the floor?
Well, that's when I was little. I'm talking right now about a little bit older.
He doesn't do that since he turned 65.
Wait, was Tony a tantrumer?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. It's the only way you could get attention to.
Yeah.
Hey, they did this to me.
I have six siblings. How else am I going to get attention?
And four of them are older.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to watch him, and that was one of the things that tickled me. It didn't make any difference what the ground was. He threw himself on the sidewalk.
Okay, enough.
Banged his head. It didn't make any difference. He was pissed. He were. He probably ever invited to be, too.
Did you grow out of that, or just...
I think I have.
Told you, 65. Let me twist, I would like to switch one thing, because I think that part of the explanation on this is that... the fact that Black Horse, home place, and... It was the home place of the Irish gatherings, too. I can remember picnics from the time I was very little where all the relatives would come and, you know, it's just a tremendous amount of... Yes. In fact, we had cousins that I had no idea they were cousins, actually, that would show up at that because there's so many Doherty cousins that... I didn't even
and
know.
And some of them wasn't Doherty name either.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know the Kennys were first-hand cousins.
Yeah, first cousins, yeah.
Is there anything that you sure wouldn't want to be lost, any memories looking back, because this is the kind of place to, I don't know, I was going to ask you for wisdom. You could offer wisdom or memories or something you might want to say, because someday we'll all be gone and hopefully people listen to this.
I don't know that I have a lot of wisdom, but I know that I enjoyed my time with the family and all the gatherings they had, because it was love. Everybody liked everybody else pretty much. You didn't have big fights, and it was a fun time.
I'd agree with that. I don't really have much to add.
No,
really.
You want my wisdom?
Yes.
Buy low and sell high.
Oh, Lord. As your daughter, I can say you should have tried implementing that earlier. That's not like you, Dad. I know you have a few thoughts. You were the town kid. You were the town cousin. But you got to see both sides. Why don't you? You must have a final thoughts, because Heppner isn't quite the center that it used to be for the family, and it really was Heppner and Lexington. They were
well. Just, I guess one the thing I would say is we grew up in the Heppner townhouse. There was the Black Horse House, which is the ranch, and then there was the house in Heppner that everybody came and stayed.
Oh, yeah. They'd come in. Yeah. They'd come in and go to church, and they'd come in and go in the kitchen and make coffee, get their coffee, whatever. It was never asked if they could have it, or there's never say, here, go get a cup of coffee. You just went and did it.
Well, you were two doors down from the church, so.
Well, yeah,
earlier than that, we were in the old
house.
We're
up on the hill, yeah.
But I will say that my memory, partly trying to capture that down, is that because we had relatives on farms, I grew up where I'd go spend a week out on the farm. I'd stay out at Black Horse, I'd go out to Aunt Nora's, Turner's, I went out to the Pointers, and I'd be out there for, and I will say this is quite good. Mom kind of insisted there, wanted me to go out and visit Zetta Brosnan, who was, I guess, almost a relative. And she was probably 75 years old and was lonesome. She asked if I could come out and stay with her. And I was in the seventh grade. And I did. And it was fun, actually. And I caught my biggest fish I ever caught and the littlest stream you ever saw.
Lena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we all got to go on the ranch. The kids here were on the ranch. So you got to come to town once in a while, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Did you stay in town ever?
Stay in town? Well, I stayed in town with Peg that time when she was babysitting.
Oh, maybe. I didn't know that was in town, okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was one of the times, because the other times I was out at the ranch with them.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of easier if you had the kids in their own bed. When you have
the one I remember though was because my folks were leaving and for several days I can't remember what I stayed with you.
Yeah, it was my baby. Not so much anymore, are you, baby?
Well, I'm gonna say it again in case I didn't get it wrong. I'm Debbie Applegate. I'm the daughter of Paul Shan Applegate, and this is my aunt Peggy McCabe, Applegate McCabe, and my other cousin Tony Doherty, and we are here in Pendleton, Oregon, in 2023.